Hi, I'm Pastor Fisher, pastor of Straight Gate Ministries in St. Louis, Missouri, and this is the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, which is Teaching Bible Radio. We're blessed to come to you at this time on this station and bring you provocative messages with the truth of the Word of God. What do we do with some of these issues that we hear about today? Global warming, evolution, things of that sort that impact the way we think and view the world, the way we think about life and view the world. What about end time events such as eschatology and things going on there in the Middle East? What do we do with that? Does the Bible speak to these issues? How about abortion, homosexuality, things of that sort? Yes, we believe the Bible does speak to these things. And even rising oil prices, terrorism, and controversial issues within the church such as forgiveness and salvation. We've heard so many different things on those. But we'd like you to get a clear view of what the Word of God has to say on such issues as this. Something you can count on, that you can see is the work of God, which He has already revealed in His Word, the Bible. So today, we want to invite you to listen to a message that will focus your mind on the eternity. And we're going to give you that here shortly on the broadcast. But we'd like you to be in touch with us. Give the call sign of this station. Give us a call at 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or email us at teachingbible.org. That's our website. You can go there and send an email or email directly to radio@teachingbible.org, or drop us a line in the mail. That's Teaching Bible Radio, P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. That's Teaching Bible Radio, P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. And we're going to give you just a bit of the message that we're featuring today, which is available on our website in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. That's teachingbible, one long word, .org. Here's a snip from our message today.
See, and God gave the prophecy to Abraham. This is a thing I'm doing. It's going to take over 400 years. Don't you worry about it. It's going to be a long time. So Abraham said, wow, the promise just got thicker. See, and so what he's doing is moving his mind towards eternity. You know what? In 400 years, I'm sure we won't be here. There won't be a soul hearing my voice that's still here in 400 years. You better look past what you have now and look to eternity. You know, the gospel is an eternal message. It blesses me now because it secures my future. It lets me know that what God has promised, He's able to perform. He's going to do it. And there's going to be a day of great glory when the King of Kings is coronated on planet Earth. And when the earth and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. You see, that's coming. God has promised it. It's on His calendar.
This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
I got your back, God, see it, basically, to put it in modern terms. And Abram said, oh, Lord, what will you give me since I go childless? You promised me a child. I still don't have one. All these years have passed. Can I get some evidence? He's asking for it. Didn't have a written word. You see that? So what does God do? Does he give him? He didn't give him a written word, but notice what he does. He says, I'm kind of a little concerned, Abram says. He goes on to converse with God. He says, because Eliezer of Damascus is the one born in my house, and it's the custom that since I have no offspring, since he was born in my house, he is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir. See, he's starting to look at how things are based on the way it looks. The way it looks like I'm going to go to the grave and this dude's going to get everything. You see that? And God says, oh, no. You know, even though you haven't seen any evidence yet, I have promised you. And he's trying to remind him, I did promise you this. This is God who promised you this. So it may not look like what I said is going to come to pass. But I guarantee you, God is doing that's what's going to happen in this text. You're going to see God's going to give a guarantee that the promise that I gave you is still good. And it's another promise. And so we look again. Notice it says here, God says in verse 4, Genesis 15, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside." Now here he goes, giving another promise. "Now look at the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them." And he knew the answer to that is no, because they can't even count them today. So many of them up there, we can't count them today. So we know Abram couldn't count them. Our counting is much more sophisticated than his, and we don't know how many there are. And so, and he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Another promise from God. Then he believed in the Lord. See, he still believed in God. God just reinforced the promise that I told you, and I'm promising you again. And so God accounted his faith to him for righteousness, Genesis 15, 6, "Because you believe me, even though you don't have any proof, even though there is no evidence, you do not see anything that looks like what I said is about the remotely even true. But yet he believed God." See, so God reinforced it, and the trust in his promise alone was what caused Abraham to be justified by faith. You see that? And the promise alone, he trusted God's promise, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He said, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees," reminded him where he came from, "to give you this land to possess it. I told you, come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great." And he said, "Oh, Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? It don't look like I'm going to possess it. All these strange people in here, all kinds of stuff. I got a tent, and I'm walking around like a vagabond with a few cattle and all that. Doesn't look like I'm going to possess it." He had reason to doubt what God said, didn't he? If you think about it. So he said, "Bring me here. You got a few cattle there. Bring some here. Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, and a female goat, 3 years old, and a ram, 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He told him, "Get some things together here for sacrifice and bring them over here. And we're going to analyze this thing here." You see, and so Abram is obedient. He goes and gets those things. Now, I would imagine that those were things he had raised over the past 3 years since he had left out of Ur. And so these are, he's taken away some of what he already had. "Now, I got these few things. Now, you want me to execute a few of them, and I'm getting less now. I'm, instead of getting more from God, looks like I'm getting less. You want me to kill a few of these things I already have been saving up here, and I thought, man, I got a little something to lay back on. Now, you say bring them over here and execute them here." So he might be thinking, "Boy, this is not what I was looking for." You see? And so God gives him a very strange thing to do. "You can give up some of that because I got your back. You don't have to worry about it. The stuff you got, you can let it go." That's what he's saying. "You don't have to worry about it. I got your back. I'm going to make a way for you out of no way. And my promise is just as good as it was the day I gave it. And if you trust in my promise alone, I'm going to bless you." And so notice what Abram does. He doesn't say, "Hey, you know, hey, I don't know if I need to cut these or not." Some of us might have backed up a little bit and said, "Oh, no, I don't think so. You know, cut up these only few I got left. You got to be kidding. You know, I only got a few here. I don't know how many he had, but I mean, any cutting them up, you're not going to have them anymore. They're going to go to be a sacrifice and to be offered up to God." So I can see where you might start to question in your mind. Well, if you start looking at what you have based on what God promised you and you don't have it yet, you haven't seen any evidence, God says, "Give me some more of that, what you got, and I'm going to use a little bit more of it." You might go, "Well, wait a minute now, you know." And so, but he didn't do that. He believed God. He trusted God. You see that? And so now notice what happens here. This is a good text. I love this. He goes on to say here, God says, "Bring these animals to me," and the turtle dove and a pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid the halves opposite one another. Now you got a half of a heifer on the left and a half on the right, half of a ram on the left, half on the right. He's making a path here, a bloody path right down the middle, cut these things half in two. And so these animals have died now, and they're all cut in half except the birds, it says, he did not cut. And now notice in verse 11, "And the birds of prey." Now here come the buzzards wanting to come in and take the flesh that you laid out there, because that's showing you time has passed since he cut them, and now the buzzards have already seen these carcasses, and they're tuning in to come down for a meal, a free meal. And so Abram said, no, get away from here. He drove the buzzards away. We have to do that too. Sometime when you make a sacrifice for God, there might be some buzzards that come into your life and want to try to consume what you have. But don't worry about the buzzards. Keep on trusting in God and trusting his promise alone. And so it says here, "The birds of prey came down and Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram." I guess it got to the point where he was tired now after fighting these buzzards all day. I feel like that too. A lot of times I have a lot of buzzards that want to invade my privacy and my happiness. and come in with some hogwash, and I know that I'm doing the Lord's work. And so you just keep on doing it by faith and don't worry about it. And know what it says here. It says he fell. Darkness came down. A great darkness fell upon him. And he is now a terror, it says, of great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, now he's kind of in a trance or a deep sleep. Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where, he says, they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. He gives them a prophecy of what's going to go on in the next 400 years. Your people are going to be, you know what this is? This is the prophecy of the Exodus, before the Exodus, when the children of Israel went down into Egypt to be enslaved by the Pharaoh for multiple generations, which would eventually produce Abraham. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was down there. All that whole story comes out of this prophecy. See, and God gave the prophecy to Abraham. This is a thing I'm doing. It's going to take over 400 years. Don't you worry about it. It's going to be a long time. So Abraham said, wow, the promise just got thicker. See, and so what he's doing is moving his mind towards eternity. You know what? In 400 years, I'm sure we won't be here. There won't be a soul hearing my voice that's still here in 400 years. You better look past what you have now and look to eternity. You know, the gospel is an eternal message. It blesses me now because it secures my future. It lets me know that what God has promised, he's able to perform. He's going to do it. And there's going to be a day of great glory when the King of Kings is coronated on planet Earth. And when the earth and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You see, that's coming. God has promised it. It's on his calendar. It was there in Psalm 2, and even in the times of David, he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing when the Lord has set his king on his holy hill in Zion? God says, I have my king ready to come at any time. He's going to come, and we can count on it. So we have to have faith and trust in the promises that God has given alone. Now, we don't only have it in a spoken word. We have it in the word. It's been in the scriptures. We have the fulfillment of all those prophecies that God promised, including this one, where the children of Israel were enslaved for 400 years in a land that was not their own. God even told why he was going to do this to Abraham so he would know. Notice this. It says here in verse 14, but I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. That means the Egyptians, we know now. And afterwards, they will come out with many possessions. That describes exactly how they left out of Egypt. They came out through the Red Sea on the dry land and they paid them to leave. Get out of here. We tired of you people after all these plagues. You see that? So the prophecy of all that change and turmoil that the children of Israel would go through was in his mind. He didn't even have one son yet. Think about that. Not one son, but he says all this is going to happen from the descendants that come forth from your body. And so he's given Abraham a really, really deep promise for the future. Then it says, and then in the fourth generation, they shall return here. Think about it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, the fourth generation. See that? They shall return here. God gave him a complete prophecy of what would happen to his descendants in the next 430 years. See that? And he says, in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. God was giving the Amorites, some other Gentiles, time to repent. He was allowing them time. So when we see them being judged and God says, go in and destroy the Amorites and the Amalekites, and he started to name them, they had plenty of time to get their act together. You see that? 400 or 500 years, 4 or 5 generations. Did they ever do it? No. They never did. God said, that's it. Their time is up. I'm using you as an instrument of judgment. Go in and judge them right now. So when we hear about the judgment of those people, people go, oh, that's cold and heartless. They didn't read the prophecy. Go back and read the prophecy. Find out God gave them 400 years, 4 or 5 generations to get their act together. You see? And they never did until God was ready to bring his people through. He already knew they wouldn't, but he was giving them time. See? So they had time to repent. When you want to know why did God say,
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. Call us toll-free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.